Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about your faith in your everyday, ordinary life, especially for me anyway, how we encounter it through amazing Catholic books. And today we're going to talk about an amazing Catholic book called Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio, Daily Reflections for Advent by my guest today, Susan DiBartoli. And hopefully I said that right. If not, she can re-say it. It's from Ave Maria Press. And I'm excited because this is one of the, I've been asked to endorse books before, but not often do I get the back cover. So I'm pretty excited. Let me just share with you what I had to say about this book and why I'm so excited to have Susan with us today. And then we're going to jump into our conversation. My review, my endorsement, was an excellent guide for a prayerful Advent through daily quotes, fascinating stories, seasonal scripture, and personal reflection. This book is a true gift for Advent, and I have been blessed to be traversing Advent with it, as I know several of my friends have as well. Susan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Allison, for having me.
Well, tell us first a little bit about yourself, and please re-say your last name because I'm sure I wasn't even close.
Oh, it's DiBartoli, and you were very close.
Yay.
You got it right. Susan, I'm a pilgrimage tour operator, and during the pandemic, I was home doing nothing, and I was asked to write this book. To write a book about Padre Pio. And I said, the lady who asked me to write it was the director of the Padre Pio Foundation of America. And I said, not me. Well, I'm on their board of directors. But I said, nice. You should write it. She said, no, everything I know about Padre Pio, you taught me. So anyway, I gave her the shot and I amazed myself. I have to honestly say, I didn't think I could do it. But anyway, I've journeyed with Padre Pio on many occasions as a pilgrimage tour operator. I've been to San Giovanni many, many, many times.
Wow. And I have pilgrimage envy. I've set up to have a few, but they've never come to fruition. So maybe in the future. How beautiful that you get to actually go. So tell somebody who doesn't know what
San Giovanni Rotondo.
Yeah, that. Tell us, for someone who doesn't know what that is, tell us a little bit of where that is and why that's so special.
San Giovanni Rotondo is where Padre Pio, he was in other places also, but he spent most of his life. And this in the monastery of Santa Maria delle Grazie. He has the stigmata there. He was a true confessor. Lines every day, lines. And it's still like that today. It's a place where on the feast day, hundreds of thousands of people show up. And
wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. Not just Italian people who absolutely love him, but people from all over the world are there because he's so important to so many people. And everybody, when they think about him, of course they think about the stigmata because that's the one thing many of us know about. But they come there because of the simple man who lived there.
Yeah. And the stigmata, again, for those who have never heard of this before, is the markings of Christ's crucifixion on his hands and on his feet. And I was very blessed. I was on a retreat, and there was one of his gloves, which is a relic.
Yes.
And one of the things I think is hard sometimes for people to understand who are not Catholic about relics and how we get so excited about them is that this is a part of this saint, this person who figured out how to live a life of holiness and to be with God forever. And we look to them, I do anyway, as my holy heroes. And to be able to touch something that they touched or have a medal that I wear a cross around my neck. I wear quite a little bit of Catholic swag, but this is my girl. Love my Catholic swag. And I've worn this crucifix around my neck for over 20 years now. It's a Trinity which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is really neat when I discovered it. But anyway, long story longer, I was wearing this when I went to this retreat, and I was able to touch my crucifix on Padre Pio's glove. Fast forward a few months, and I'm a speaker, and I was giving a retreat to confirmation students, and there was an exorcist as one of the teachers, and he came up to me after my first talk, and he said, "I got to tell you something." He said, "I always pray for Padre Pio to be with our speakers when they're here, especially because you're talking to teenagers. You need that extra help." And he goes, "The weirdest thing is I felt his presence with you immediately." He's like, why would I feel that? So I explained about how this was touched on his relic, and I had a great devotion to him. Well, it was about to grow monumentally after that. He came up to me again, and he said, "You're going to think I'm crazy," which I never do. I love this Catholic mysticism stuff. I think it is part of what makes Catholicism so beautiful and so different from other faiths. And he said, Padre Pio, I think, would really like you to be his spiritual child, his spiritual daughter. And so I went and I looked that up. I figured out how to do it. I did the prayers and just kind of welcomed him into my life as father. Craziest thing, Susan. Then I discovered that his birthday is the same day as my father's birthday. And at the time of this all happening, I had a very strained relationship with my father. So I welcomed Padre Pio in as my spiritual father. And through, I believe, his intercession, my relationship with my own father strengthened and healed. Wonderful. And he's just, even from the, you know, from heaven, he's doing so much good. And I love what he said, that he wouldn't enter heaven until all of his spiritual children were there. So
that's correct.
Love having him in my, so that's my Padre Pio story and why I was so excited to endorse your book. Again, we're talking with Susan Di Bartoli. Her book is Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio, out from Ave Maria Press. Why Padre Pio?
Why Padre Pio? Well, as I said, I started to say about the stigmata, you know, we think of Padre Pio and we think of the stigmata and we think about journeying with him. And we always think, let's journey to Calvary with him. But no, this is different. He's asking us to journey with him to Bethlehem. Why? Because from his earliest days, you know, you hit on a good point. You said, in essence, we are all potential saints. We're all working towards that. When I think of Padre Pio as a child being born, I think of him as, it's maybe I shouldn't say it, as already being a saint. Because from his youngest years, at the age of 5, he consecrated his life to Jesus. How do you at 5 years old do this unless he's with you at every moment? And he was. He saw him as a child. He saw the Blessed Mother. So this is the man. This is the simple man, the simple holy man, not the miracle worker, not the man with all the spiritual gifts. That's beautiful. And we gain so much from it, but we gain so much more from the man, the simple man. And that's why we follow him.
That's beautiful. And I really I didn't know about Padre Pio's relationship with the Christ child. Like, I found that so fascinating. You share that in your book. So tell us a little bit. I mean, we don't want to give too many spoiler alerts, but I think it's important to share that because I think it will absolutely help people understand why your new book is something that not only just for, I know it's an Advent book, and we're going to talk a little bit about this too, but I think it's one of those books you could pick up and do a daily devotion with any time of the year. It doesn't just need to be Advent, but why specifically the Christ child?
Well, you know, we have to think about it in terms of not, as you said, not just at Christmas time. We should follow the Christ child at every time. Why? There are stories that I tell in the book where Padre Pio is in his own monastery. It's late at night, and he's walking in the halls all aglow, and he's actually holding the Christ child and his arms, and his fellow Capuchins are coming out and they see him and they drop to their knees. They're amazed. Wow. This doesn't just happen at Christmas. It happens all the time with Padre Pio. It did happen on a particular Christmas, and not only the Capuchins, but also people in the church saw it. Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1924, where the child appeared in his arms when he was in the back of the church, and people did see it. So it's not to follow Christ, the child just at Christmas. Follow him all year round.
I love
That's what it's about.
And, you know, sometimes Advent becomes such a busy season and we buy all these books or we think, I'm going to do this special spiritual time and I buy this beautiful book, Daily Reflections for Advent, Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio. And I maybe get through 2 or 3 days and then the season kind of overcomes me again. And I think just to say this one more time, that just because a book says I'm a daily reflection for Advent, we have to remember that, as you just said, we should be traveling with the Christ Child all year. And I think sometimes, you know, it's wonderful to do it during Advent, but sometimes just having that quiet and ordinary time of the year is important as well. So tell us a little bit about how the book is structured, Susan.
Okay, so it's structured day to day, of course, through Advent, and Advent can run anywhere from 22 to 28 days. So this book can be used any Advent, not just this Advent. So that's
lovely. Yeah.
And every day I introduce you to a new miracle. There are 28 miracles. And every day I introduce you to a new one, but I give you the background, not just this is the miracle that happened. I tell you how it came to be. So that's one thing. Then there's always the words of Padre Pio, which lead us into the particular miracle. And then there's a gospel and a reflection. And then the time for us to just think about all that's been said. And it ends with a prayer every day, a Hail Mary, Our Father, glory be. And that's every single day. But many people have written to me to tell me that they read the book the minute that they got it, and now they're using it for Advent. So that's nice too, you know.
Yes, it is a quick read, because we were actually, my Bible study was just talking last night about how do we incorporate prayer into our everyday life? Like, you know, we want to spend time with Christ, but sometimes our days are so busy. And I loved that this was as long as or short as I wanted to make it. If I wanted to make it a 5-10 minute read, absolutely. If I wanted to spend more time on reflection and thought and prayer, I could do that too. So I could spend a half an hour if I wanted to. I loved bringing it with me to adoration. And I think I can relate to some of the people who wrote to you that I wanted to just do one day, but I was so enthralled. I was like, well, I'll just do the next day and the next day, and then I'll go back again later. So when I got it to review, I gobbled it up because I just couldn't stop reading. It's just so, he's just such a fascinating saint. And I thought everybody knew about him, and I included him in my own book from Ave Maria Press in Encountering Signs of Faith. And he is one of the saints that I share as well in my book, because I actually shared the story about how there was a pilot that saw him.
Yes.
Do you want to recount that story for us?
Sure, sure.
We would love that.
About an hour from San Giovanni Rotondo is maybe a little more than an hour, is the Air Force Base of Cerignola, where during World War II, many men were stationed. Now, I talk about a man named Ray Ewan in the book. Ray Ewan was stationed there, and he served Mass with Padre Pio 7 times.
Wow.
So the story originally was told to me by Ray, and Ray said that one day these pilots had, the commander of the post received a message that there was in a school in San Giovanni, the Germans were using that school as a depot with ammunition and all. So they were told to go out and to bomb the school. So all these planes, I don't know how many, but these planes go out and the commander is on board and they're just about to get to San Giovanni and they're positioning to drop their bombs. And all of a sudden, in the sky, this monk appears with his arms outstretched, stopping the planes.
I love that.
The bombs are falling from the plane. Nobody's touching anything. The bombs are falling into the forest all over. And they're in amazement. What is going on? And the planes turn around by themselves and go back to the base. Now, when they get back, someone tells the commander is saying, what is going on? So one of the pilots tells him that they say this: there's a monk on a mountain in San Giovanni, not far from the base, and that he might be the reason why this happened. Now, if I were the commander, I would have got in my Jeep and went there immediately to see what was going on. But instead, he said, I'll wait until the war is over and I'll go. And so he waits until the Germans leave and he goes to San Giovanni Rotondo. He walks into the sacristy and he immediately sees Padre Pio and he says, that's him. That's the monk who was in the sky. And when Padre Pio sees him, he says to him, you're the one who tried to kill us. So he kneels down and Padre Pio gives him his blessings. The man, I don't know what religion he was, but he was not Catholic, but he did become a Catholic after that.
Oh my God.
And I think it's an amazing story, a funny story. It gives you a lot to think about because there's so much going on, so many miracles within a miracle that are going on here. I love that story. I really.
Oh, my goodness. That was a Holy Spirit moment. And I'm so glad I had you tell it because you tell it way better than I do. So when you do your pilgrimage, Susan, do you give these stories as when you were a pilgrimage leader? Is this the things that you do? And then is that why some of these stories were just so easy for you or...
Well, I don't go on all of the pilgrimages. I couldn't possibly go. I'd never be home. I do every year go with the Padre Pio Foundation of America because I'm on their board. So I do join their pilgrimage. There have been times when I couldn't, but basically I do. And when we go, we certainly talk about these stories. Nice. But many of the spiritual directors like Father David Beaumont, who is a Capuchin like Padre Pio, he tells a lot of stories, you know, and we do mention the various stories, you know, so we share. I share what I can and Julie shares what she can. But San Giovanni is an amazing place. Even Pietrelcina, where Padre Pio was born, is like it's a little town, you know, it's because he was a little man from a little town, you know, so that's amazing too. But yes, we do. We share a lot on the pilgrimages. It's a lot.
Do you have a great tie to Italy?
Well, my family is from Italy, not my parents. My parents were born in America and one of my grandparents was born in America. My mother's parents were born in Abruzzi. My father's father was born in Calabria. And my grandmother, who's born in America, her family was from Castellammare di Stabia in Naples. So I have a tie. And even though my parents weren't born there and I wasn't born there, when I go there, I feel at home because we have very strong Italian traditions, which were brought over, you know, the feast of the seven fishes on Christmas Eve, that kind of thing. Nice. So we still follow the traditions today. Because tradition is very important in families to keep traditions.
So do you speak Italian?
When I have to. I don't speak very well. I can read it, write it. I understand it. I can speak it. I'm getting better. A couple of years, I wasn't there. I was there in September. So, of course, you know, it sort of fades away and then you have to get back into it. But if I stay there a week or two, I'm just speaking. I'm good.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm 100% Portuguese, but we never learned the language. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my greatest regrets. Someday I will get to Fatima. But today we're talking about Padre Pio. And I'm digressing. Well, our time is already at the end. It was so... went by so fast, I knew that it would. Susan, what is the hope for somebody who would pick up this book, not just for Advent, but any time this season of the year?
Well, I think, as I said, the miracles are important, but it's when you read the book, you begin to know who Padre Pio is. And you know that his most famous line was, pray, hope, and don't worry. And what he tells us, but with each miracle, when they're asked of him, he always says, pray. We have to all pray. And when he was asked, what legacy would you leave? And he said, pray the rosary. That's who Padre Pio is.
Wow. See, I did not know that. And it's kind of funny you just said that, because all the people I did the Encountering Signs of Faith book club for Catholic Mom. And what I asked, and I had guests on Catholic Mom contributors, and I asked each of them what their legacy of faith would be. And I think that's so beautiful that you just shared with me Padre Pio's. And ironically enough, I work for Family Rosary. So I think I need to do a little bit more research into Padre Pio's teaching and his writing and his reflection on the rosary. I bet I'll find some gems, some real special things. Every day I learn something new about my faith. This is why I love the Catholic faith so much. Mm-hmm. Susan, do you have a social media following? Do you have a website? Any way we can continue to get your wonderful stories?
Yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, just Susan Di Bartoli. And people come to me every day, mostly with their stories. And that's what I love best. My stories are nice. You could read them in the book. But what people tell me is much more important. And I answer everybody.
I love that. I love that we share our stories of faith. This is how...
That's right.
It continues. Jesus was the best storyteller, and look at all of us being such good disciples. Susan Di Bartoli, Welcoming the Christ Child with Padre Pio, Daily Reflections for Advent, out from Ave Maria Press. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Allison. It was my pleasure.
What a joy. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.